So good morning. So today I wanted to take a look at Megillas Rus and try to develop some sort of theme and hopefully some sort of take-home lesson for ourselves. So the Medrash in Rus Rabbah tells us, Amar Rav Zeira, Megillah zu ein ba lo tuma velo tara, velo iser velo heter, velo menech tava. Rabbi Zeira says, this Megillah doesn't have halachos of tuma and tara, iser and heter. So then why was it written? What is the purpose of this Megillah? L'lamdecha kama schar tov l'gomlei chasadim. What is the purpose? To teach you the reward for those who do chesed. When we think about it, you know, out of all of the Megillahs, Rus actually has the most halachos, right? You know, if you think about, most of them are just, you know, thoughts. We have Mishlei, we have Koheles. We're not learning halachos from there. And if you take one out of the five Megillot, which is the one that actually has the most halacha? It's going to be Megillas Rus. We learn about halachos pertaining to Gerim. We learn about halachos pertaining to Tzedakah, Tznius, etc. So what then is Rabbi Zeira driving at? Perhaps one could say that although Megillas Rus contains many halachot, that is not the central theme or the purpose of the Megillah. The essence of the Megillah is Chesed, and it was written only for one purpose, L'lamdecha scharan shel gomlei chasadim, to teach you the great reward of those who perform chesed. And what was the great reward that Rus received for her chesed? Malchus based David. And I think we also have to understand then, what then is the connection between chesed and malchus? So the idea of chesed does not only surround Rus's actions, but it actually permeates throughout the Megillah. And it's in fact how the Megillah opens. So if you open to Perek Aleph with the start of the Megillah, the pasuk tells us, Vayihi bimei shvot hashoftim. It was in the days of the judges. And there the Medrash tells us, the Medrash in Rus Rabbah, Vayihi bimei shvot hashoftim, Atzla tapil dardema alijeshin it's atzlu Yisrael lasot gemila chesed leYoshua v'ikberu oto begvul nachlato mitafon lahargaash omahu hargaash. They fail. So basically, in this time of Shvot Hashoftim, they failed to do chesed with Yehoshua, and they buried him. The pasuk says by hargaash. What's hargaash? Ayideshin it gashu Yisrael maasot gemila chesed leYoshua ba'otel shah netchalka eretz Yisrael. They didn't involve themselves in the burial of Yehoshua, their leader, the Masharis of Moshe. Because why? That was the point that they came into Eretz Yisrael and they were dividing the lands. And they were so into their nachala, their property, their land. It was chaviv aleihem yoter midai, more than normal. Vahayu Yisrael asukim b'malachtan. They were so involved in working their land, their nachala. Zeosik b'sadeo, v'zeosik b'karmeo. This one's involved in his field. This one's working on his vineyard. V'zeosik b'potmo l'faresh v'nefesh v'meyat tera'av. Nitkashu ma'asot k'milas chatzel le'yoshua b'kesha kadashbar l'har'ish et ha'olam kulo al yoshvav. Like it says, v'tegash v'tera'ash ha'aretz. Basically, they were so involved in their own fields and in their own vineyards and in their own nachalas that they did not involve themselves in burying Yehoshua. And Hashem was so upset, he wanted to destroy everything because of this. So Rabbi Yadid, in his Sefer Arba Imahos Ve'em Hamalucha, he writes, Chazal memakdim et ha'iyun benikudat hamotzei al hayedardut haruchanit המסורית והחברתית בפרשת היהודית על עם ישראל מלאבותו אל המנהיג והמנחיל יהושע בן נון, תלמידו של משה רבינו. We start off the Megillah with the lack of involvement in accompanying and bearing Yehoshua. And that is the beginning of this generation of the Shoftim. We go from Yehoshua to the time of Shoftim, and he says, "V'dardarotam liyod dar shakul hevel." And this generation became a generation of hevel, a vanity of nothingness. Am Yisrael nit atzel milalavot et manhigo Yehoshua ben Nun lebeit olamo levayat hamed velevayat hamanhig he maaseh shel gemilas chesed shel emes. They were involved in their own things, and they didn't bury him and accompany their leader. And we know that this action is the gemilas chesed of emes, right? It's the ultimate chesed because the person can never repay you. Chovat hakarat hatov klapi Yeshua benin chayva et kol klal Yisrael latzit b'mahamon nav el maaseh chesed ha'acharon shehaya ra'oi lo Yeshua benin shehen chilam et ha'aretz. And not only that, this hakaras hatov, this final chesed, was incumbent upon all of them to get up, to leave their properties, and to go accompany and bury Yeshua because he was their leader. Through him, they divided Eretz Yisrael. Ulam atzlut garmal lahem limana mechovat besisit zu. Atzlut zanava midvikotam ba'arach gadol avodat ha'adamah shel ha'aretz Yisrael. They were so involved in the land that they totally neglected what they were supposed to do. What was the problem? Kol achad haya osuk b'sadeyo v'karmeyo v'lo tefane latzeit achar mitato shel Yehoshua. B'nei Yisrael hayu tzrichim lahafsik kol avoda b'sadeh v'kol isuk afilu tinikol shel beit rabbanan hayu tzrichim livatel mipnei kvodo shel Yehoshua benon. Everyone needed to stop. Even the tinikol shel beit rabbanan. Everyone needed to stop what they were doing to go and to accompany and to bury Yehoshua. Achim lo osu kein v'edifu et chalukat ha'aretz. But they weren't involved. They didn't care. And what did they care more for? Taking care of themselves. Taking care of their own land. What was the problem? What they did? They were so involved in the anochias. I'm not going to read the rest inside. And that was the backdrop of this generation. What is anochias? It's all about me. It's all about I. You know, Yehoshua, yeah, he did great things, but right now I have my vineyard. I have my field. I need to work. I need to get involved. And this is going to benefit me. And this is what I need to do. And me. They could not take a step back and see, wait a second, we need to stop. This person did not lead a stam person you need to do this for, but this is our leader. This is the person that we were able to inherit and divide Eretz Yisrael through. And they were so involved in this anochias that, you know, it made such a rush. Hashem really wanted to bring destruction. He was so upset. And that is the backdrop of Sefer Rus. That is the backdrop of this time period. But this lack of chesed and this anochias, it didn't only affect the generation, but it affected the leaders as well. And the pasuk continues, Vayihi rav ba'aretz, Vayilech ish mi beit lechem Yehuda lagor b'stei Moav, hu v'ishto v'shnei banav. So there's this famine. Obviously, God doesn't destroy the Jewish people, but he brings upon this famine, and there's a man that goes from Beit Lechem, and he goes to live in Moab, him and his wife and his two children. And who is this person? The pasuk continues, V'shem ha'ish Elimelech, V'shem ishto Naomi. This man is Elimelech, and his wife is Naomi. V'shem shnei banav Machlon v'kilion, Ephratiim, in Beit Lechem, Yehuda v'yavos te Moab ayusham. And they go, they leave Eretz Yisrael, and they go to Beit Yehuda from Beit Lechem, and they go to live in and to live in Moab. So who is Elimelech? The Gemara in Baba Basra tells us, Tzadi Aleph Amabet, Elimelech v'Shalmon v'Ploni Almoni v'Avi Naomi hulam b'nei Nachshon ben Aminadav hayu. So Elimelech and this Ploni Almoni, which we'll learn about later in the Megillah, and the father of Naomi, his wife, they were all the children of Nachshon ben Aminadav. The Nasi, the leader, Elimelech is from Shevet Yehuda, a Shevet of Melucha, of royalty, and a son of Nachshon, the leader who was the first one to jump in the Yamsuf, who was the first one to take the step and to take the Achrayas and to go forward. Furthermore, the Medrash tells us in Yalkut Shmoni, V'shem Ha'ish Elimelech, his name was Elimelech, Shehaya Omer, Eli Tavo Malchus. The Melucha, the kingship, will come to me. So he not only had the spiritual DNA from Nachshon, of Mesiras Nefesh, but he was intended for Melucha. He was intended for royalty. Yet Elimelech is criticized and punished for leaving, as the next pasuk continues, Vayemat Elimelech, and Elimelech dies. Yet when we think about it, Avraham seems to have done the same thing, right? We look back to Bereshis, to Perikud Beis, the pasuk tells us, Vayi Rav Ba'aretz, Vayered Avram Mitzrayimah, right? There was a famine in Eretz Yisrael, and Avram goes down to Mitzrayim, Lagursham, Ki Kaved HaRav Ba'aretz, because the famine is severe in the land. So, you know, and in this situation, not only is Avram not criticized for leaving Eretz Yisrael to go to the Rav, but it's actually considered one of his nisyonot, one of his tests from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pirkei Zohar Eliezer tells us, HaNisyon HaRevi'i, the fourth test, Miyom Shenivru'u Shamayim Va'aretz, Lo Barav Ela B'Yimei Avraham. He said, this is Avram's fourth test. From the day that the world was created, there was never a famine in the world until the days of Avram. V'lo b'chol aretzo, and not in the rest of the world, ela be'eretz Kanan v'lvad. The Ram was only in Eretz Kanan, l'nasoto v'lohoridu l'mitzrayim, in order to test him and to bring him down to Mitzrayim. So then why is it positive when it comes to Avram, and yet negative when it comes to Elimelech? And Rav Rivlin takes this apart in his Sefer, and he says, if you really pay attention to the Psukim, the answer is there. We can find the answer within the text itself. If we just read the Psukim with a critical eye. If we take these two sets of Psukim and we put them side by side, we'll see there are certain differences which are going to really highlight the major difference between the criticism of Elimelech and the positive, or the being considered as a nisayon for Avram Avinu. And the first one is the wording vayelech versus vayered. When it comes to when Avram leaves Eretz Yisrael, the pasuk says vayered, he went down. A person who feels and recognizes that he is descending, he yearns to once again go back. He realizes that this is a descent. I am going down. It's not an ideal situation. Thus, later on, the Torah tells us, Vayal Avram Mitzrayim, that Avram went up from Mitzrayim. In contrast with Elimelech, the Torah tells us, Vayelech, he simply went. Since there was no tsar, there was no anguish or feeling of descent because of his situation, he did not rise to return as Avram did, but rather he continued to sink. As the pasuk tells us, Vayevo stay Moav, Vayusham, they went to Moav and they were there. Vayesulahem nashim Moaviot, Vayeshvu sham ke'esr shanim. That his children married Moabite women, and they lived there for 10 years. Yeah.
Did Hashem tell Avram to leave at the time?
No, Hashem told Abraham to leave Ur Kasdim, where he was born. He was there and he was safe facing a situation. Right. What am I going to do? Vayered is when he leaves, when he sees that there's a famine in Eretz Yisrael and he has no choice but to go down.
Oh,
we're going to get to more things to highlight the differences. No, Lech Lecha was not the Rav to Mitzrayim. Lech Lecha was leaving his birthplace behind.
I've got another question. Wasn't Elimelech some kind of royalty in his land already?
Exactly.
Yeah.
He was a leader. He wasn't yet the king. They didn't have a Jewish king at that time. Yeah. He was Ephrati. Yeah, exactly. He was a leader and a gadol and an usher, etc. He was all of those things. But he had the potential to actually be the king.
Oh, okay.
At that point, we do not yet have kings in Klal Yisrael. Okay, the second difference is the description of the famine, right? Vayehi ra'av ba'aretz, it appears in both of our stories. Yet, by the story of Avram, the Torah adds, ki kaved ha'ra'av ba'aretz. The famine was intense. Avram had no choice. It seems that this description is not given in Elimelech's story. Perhaps he could have stayed and survived in Eretz Yisrael. And another thing that's different is, if you look who leaves with Avram and who leaves with Elimelech, the Torah doesn't say who leaves with Avram, though we know that obviously Sarah was with him, and we assume that Hanefesh Asher Asu B'Charan, all of the people that he was Makare that joined him were with him. But when Avram is described in his Aliyah, the Torah says twice, Otova es ishtova es kol asher lo, everything that he had. And again, Vayal Avram Yimitzrayim huvi ishtova kol asher lo. He didn't go by himself, but there seems to be this group, not necessarily of possessions, but of people that were with him. But in contrast, what does it say by Elimelech? Huvi ishtova shtei banav. Only him, his wife, and his two children, his immediate family. Not only that, where did Elimelech leave from? He left from Beit Lechem Yehuda, which was his family members who were suffering, right? That whole town was part of Sheva Yehuda. They were all his family members, and yet he only leaves with his immediate family. In fact, Chazal and Rus Rabbah ask, V'lomina enash Elimelech, why was Elimelech punished? Al yidei shehipil liban shel Yisrael aleihem. He deflated the hearts of Klal Yisrael. The people in his area, his family, his community, they relied on him. And they said, you know what? If there would be a famine, if there would be years of not enough food. Elimelech has the capability, Elimelech has the potential to sustain us all for 10 years. Kevan Shabbat Shana Petzorah Yatzah Lav Shefchato Shepatcho Ma'alat Sidkei V'kupata Biyada V'ayu B'nei HaMedina Omrim Zeh Shehainu Boskhim Alav She'im Tavo B'Torat Hu Yachol Afarneso Sanu Eser Shanim Hare Shepatcho Omedet B'Sidei V'kupato Biyada Kach Elimelech Hayo M'gdolei Hador M'farnasei Hador K'shabu'u Shnei Ra'avon Amar Achshav Kol Yisrael M'sovevin Pitzri Zeb Bekupato, Vzeb Bekupato, Amad Barachlo Bipnehem. So what happened with Elimelech? He had the wealth. He had the means to support Bnei Yisrael. In fact, they relied on him. He was kind of a security for them, knowing that if something bad would happen, he could help them. He could support them. And what happens when the Rav comes? He totally, completely deflates them. He lets all their hope gone. He go out the door. Why? Because there's a Rav, and instead of helping everybody and sustaining everybody, he doesn't want everyone to... He knew everyone's going to come around his door. He knew everyone's going to come begging, each with their own little kupa, each with their own little pushkula. Please, Elimelech, help me. I'm starving. My family's starving. And instead of helping them, what does he do? He abandons them. He runs away. And he leaves only with his wife and his two children. So we see, in contrast to Avram, Elimelech, according to the Medrash, had the potential to help the people. He could have lived in Eretz Yisrael and survived the Ra'av, but he only decides to leave with his family, his immediate family. He doesn't care nor take care of the people around him. There is...
You were saying that the Ra'av also contrast was not as intense, because it doesn't say Kikaveh.
Right, meaning it seems that Avram, he had no choice. But it seems from the Medrash that even if the Ra'av was intense... You know, the pasuk doesn't tell us so, but even if there was a Rav, Elimelech had the means and the capabilities to help them. So they could have stayed in Eretz Yisrael and lived there and survived there. But there is one more and possibly the most significant difference between Elimelech and Avram. Avram yimam yarad l'mitzrayim. Avram goes down to Mitzrayim. The Elimelech halach l'moav. And Elimelech goes to Moav. It's understandable in Avram's situation, right? Mitzrayim has the Nile, which provides water and sustenance, right? The Nile overflows, and it irrigates the land around it, and therefore, going to Mitzrayim makes a lot of sense. And therefore, in a lot of situations, and from various places, whenever there was lack of food, where did the people turn to? They turned to Mitzrayim. Like the pasuk tells us, in contrast, Eretz Yisrael does not have this water source to irrigate the land. And that's what the Pasuk in Devarim tells us. Perek Yud Aleph, Pesukim Yud, through Yubet. Ki ha'aretz asher ata basham alershta. Hashem tells Bnei Yisrael, the land that you come to inherit, lo ke'aretz Mitzrayim hi, asher yatzata misham, asher tizra etzaracha veshgit beraglacha kegan hayarak. Eretz Yisrael is not like Mitzrayim, that everything is taken care of, that there's water, that there's irrigation, etc. V'aretz asher atem ovrim shama l'rishta eretz harim u'baka'ot l'matar ha-shamayim tishteh mayim. Where does the water in Eretz Yisrael come from? The matar ha-shamayim, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Eretz asher Hashem elkecha doresh ota tamid enei Hashem elkecha ba. It's a land that Hashem is constantly seeking you out and constantly watching over you. Right? So whereas in Mitzrayim there is an irrigation system, the system in Eretz Yisrael was that of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore when there was a famine, when there was a situation that Hashem was withholding the rain, therefore the people went to Mitzrayim. Another thing is actually interesting is that Moab actually receives less water than Beit Lechem, than the area of Yehuda. If you look on a map of the rainfall in the region. And if so, why does Elimelech go to Moab? If there was a famine in Beit Lechem, surely it was the worst, the same, or even worse in Moab. And in his action, Elimelech was choosing to remove his Jewish garb, right? The cloak of chesed, and leave it behind. Therefore, where does he go? He goes to a nation that represents the lack of chesed, which is namely Moab, like the pasuk in Devarim tells us, Lo yavo amoni umovi v'kal Hashem. And someone from Amon and Moab cannot join Bnei Yisrael. Gam dor asiri lo yavo v'kal Hashem adalon. 10 generations forever. They're not allowed to convert. They can't join our people. Why? Because they did not come and give you bread and water when you left Egypt. Moab is the antithesis to the chesed of Bnei Yisrael, and therefore, they cannot join our nation. They not only lack the chesed to give us bread and water, but they lack the hakaras hatov. As we know, Moab descended from Lot, who Avram, our forefather, saved from the war of the kings and took care of him. Elimelech therefore leaves his nation, whose essence is chesed. He doesn't want to care for his brothers in their time of need. And so where does he go to? He goes to Moab, which is a nation that's anti-chesed. And there they accept him with open arms. He's the prime example of how a Moabite should act. And he even becomes a mechutin with who? With the king. And his sons marry the daughters of Eglon Melech Moab. So Elimelech did not choose a place that had water, but rather a place that would not look down upon him for what he did. Elimelech dies, and Naomi and her two sons remain in Moab. And the Chazal tell us in the Gemara in Bava Basra that Naomi too was miyuchased. She was also, you know, an important person with special lineage. Ploni almoni va'avi Naomi kulam b'nei Nachshon ben Aminadav. Her grandfather was also Nachshon ben Aminadav. She was a descendant of the Nasi of Sheva Yehuda, and she was the wife of Elimelech, Eli Tavo Machos, who had the potential to be the king. The Yalkut Shmoni tells us, why was she called Naomi? Shema Asim Ni'imim, that her actions were pleasant. Also, Shayu Benot Beit Lecha Mishtamshot B'Tachshitah, that she would lend her jewelry, you know, she was very wealthy, she would lend her jewelry to the daughters of Eretz Yisrael. Zohi Naomi Shema Aseha Na'im V'Ni'imim. This is Naomi that her actions and her deeds were beautiful and pleasant. Haytama Halechad Ba'aspaktiot, basically these special, you know, shoes and carriages, mechased the big day milisan, she was wearing royal importance clothing. Another medrash in Rus Rabba, paneha ma'adimot mikoch ma'achal u'mishteh. Her face was red and flushed and beautiful, had a beautiful color. Why? Because of the food and the drink that she had. Because again, she was wealthy. Not only wealthy, but she was a pleasant person and she gave to the people around her. So Naomi was a respected woman in Beit Lechem, and she acted with chesed towards the other women, and she lent them her jewelry. She stood out in terms of her appearance as and her clothing, as someone who rich does. And if she would have been worthy, she could have seen Elimelech, the Gadol Hador, become the king and bring the salvation to Bnei Yisrael. But she didn't merit this because of the Saras Ayin that was in her family, the stinginess, because of the Anochius that plagued Klal Yisrael. And she is blamed because she didn't prevent Elimelech from leaving and going to Moab. And it seems that she wasn't so different than him, as after he died, she chose to stay in Moab. Like the Pasuk tells us, V'tasha'er hi u'shnei banah, that she chose to stay even after her husband died with her two children. And Pasuk Dalid says, V'yisu lahem nashim Moabiyot, shem achat arpa, v'shem hashenit rus, v'yishu sham ke'eser shonim. And then her two sons, they take Moabite women, and they live there for like 10 years. V'yamutu gam shnehem, Machlon v'kilion. Both her two sons, Machlon and Kilion, they die. V'tasha'er ha'isha mishnei yaladah ma'isha. And only Naomi remains. She has no husband, and she does not have her two sons. And so what does she do? She decides to return. And the Pasuk says, Pasuk Vav, Vatakam hi v'kaloteha v'teshev mistei Moav, ki shama b'stei Moav, ki pakar Hashem et amo latet lahem lechem. She gets up, her and her daughter-in-laws, and she returns from the fields of Moav, and because she has heard that Hashem remembered his nation and he gave them bread. And Naomi is able to do a cheshbon ha-nefesh. She is able to make a personal accounting. And she sees that the din that affected her family. And what does she do? Vatakam. She is ready to rise up again and go back. In fact, in the next few psukim, pas psukim vav through chavet, the verb shuv, the verb to return, is used 12 times. Because she's ready to do tshuva for what has happened to her family. And the return begins with what? With the chesed of Rus and Orpah, who leave their homes, their lives of royalty, and they stick to their mother-in-law. Pasuk Zion says, "Vatetei min ha-makom asher ha-ita shama v'shtei kalotah ima v'telachna baderech lashuv el eretz Yehuda." That her and her two daughter-in-laws get up and they leave the place, and they go and return to Eretz Yehuda. And it's interesting because even though Rus and Orpah had never been to Eretz Yehuda, the Pasuk writes that they went and they returned to show us how connected and close they were to Naomi. The years that they lived with Naomi made an impression on them. The ruchnius, the spirituality of a woman whose actions and deeds were deemed ni'imim, was someone they wanted to follow. And they're ready to follow her, perform this chesed with her, despite what they were leaving behind. And so the pasuk groups them as one. They are not separate. They are so close to her. Even though they had never actually been to Beit Lechem, it's considered as if they're going back because they're an extension of her. The Pasuk Chet tells us, "Vatomar na'ami l'shtei kalotel lechna." And she turns to them and she says, "My daughter-in-laws, go. Shuvna, isha lebeit ima, yaseh shem imachem chesed kasher asiti im hameitem ve'imadi." And she says, "Girls, go back to your mother's house. Hashem should do with for you a chesed just like you did with the dead and with me." And Naomi is so touched by their chesed that she adds brachos, pasuk tes, yitein Hashem lechem, pasuk tes, Hashem should give you umetzana menucha, you should find peace, tranquility, isha beis isha v'tishak lehem v'tishena kolan v'tit. She says to them, Hashem should find that both of you should find contentment in the house of her husband. And she kisses them, and they cry. And Rus and Arpah, they do not agree, and they tell Naomi, "No, we're going to return with you." But Naomi turns to them and she says, "Vata omer Naomi, shuvna benotai, lama telach na'imi, ha'odli banim b'me'ai v'ayu lachem la'anashim." She says, "Go back, my daughters. You know, do I have any more children in my womb to give you a son?" Shovna benotai, lechna ki zakantim yoli ish ki amarti yeshli tikva gam hayiti alayli ish gam yaladati banim. And she says, "You know, I don't. Do I even have, you know, any more children in my womb? Even if you were to, you know, say that there is hope for me, and that I would get married tonight, and I would bore a child, and you know, children. Would you wait, you know, until they grow older, and you know, prevent yourselves from marrying other people?" Naomi tells them, "You know, there's nothing there for you in Beit Lechem. Go back. Go start your lives again." Vatesena kolan vatev tevkena od. And they raise their voice, Yudalid, and they cry, Vatishak Orpah lachamota, and Orpah kisses her mother-in-law, Virut davkaba, and Rut clings to her. Orpah gives her mother a kiss, and she leaves, and Rus cleaves to her. And she turns to Rus once again, and she tries to convince her, you know, "Go, come on, go back." But it seems that at this point, Rus does not want to hear from it, and she's committed to going back with Naomi. She says to Rus, "Vatomar hinei shava yivimtech elama ve'elalo ha shuvi achare yivimtech." She says, "Look, your sister, she went back to her land, to her God. Go after her." Vatomar Rus, "Al tifki bilazeich l'shuv me'achar reich." Don't tell me to go back. The famous psukim, "Ki el asher telchi elech," wherever you go, I'll go. "Ubasher talini alin," wherever you sleep, I'll sleep. "Amech ami," your nation is my nation. "Velokai chalokai," your God is my God. "Vasher tamuti amut," wherever you die, I'll die. "Vesham ekaber ko yasa Hashem li veko yosif ki amavet yafrid beini uveinech." There's nothing that's going to separate us two. The only thing that's going to separate us is death. In fact, the Gemara in Sota tells us, you know, it seems at this point, up until this point, if you look at the Pesukim, in every situation, there's an equation between Rus and Orpah, right? There's no differentiation. Everything that Rus did, Orpah did. It's one verb for both of them. But we see, at this point, we seem to see that they went to different paths. Orpah goes back, and Rus decides to stay with Naomi and to go back to Eretz Yisrael with her. In fact, the Gemara in Sota tells us what happens to Orpah after she left Naomi. The Gemara tells us, Amen Bet, that she ran into a battalion of 100 soldiers, and she willingly submitted herself to all of them. From the lot of them, she becomes pregnant, and she bore the giant Goliath. In fact, Another opinion says that not only was she with those 100 men, but she even was with the dog that night. So how can we understand the drastically different ends of Rus and Orpah, right? When the beginnings seem so, when the beginnings are so similar, right? They did everything together. They said, we're going to go with you. They hugged her, they kissed her, they followed her, etc. So I think the answer is that it really depends on what's in the person's core. You know, a person can have moments of greatness, but the trajectory depends on the person's compass, right? We have other examples in Tanakh of such a situation, right? We have Ephron Achiti, who wanted to give Avram his field for free, right? Avram says, I want to buy this, I want to bury, you know, my wife here, etc. And Ephron says, no, I'm going to give it to you for free. And Avram starts to offer him money. And then he sees, oh, Avram's really willing to offer me some money. And then he goes from one extreme to another. And not only does he ask for money, but he asks for an exorbitant sum, right? And similarly, we have a situation with Hagar. We know Hagar was also an Egyptian princess. And she also left everything behind to follow Avraham. But when she was sent out of the house and she was faced with difficulties, what happens? She gave it all up. And the Siftei Chaim explains, says, Hashor shall kol ma'aseh ha-chesed shal rut nav'u me ha-tzchunata ha-merumezet b'shma. That the chesed that was found in Rus was hinted to in her name. Chazal tell us, Rus shera'asa b'divrei chamota, that she was able to see in the words of her mother-in-law. Kalim duhu chazal kla gadol shal chesed eino matzchil b'nitziya ela b'ri'iya. It doesn't begin with giving, but it begins with seeing. Right? This is who Rus was. What was Rus's core? Her core was chesed. She was able to see in the words of Naomi. And it's interesting because on the one hand, even from the psukim, you see, she's saying return, but she's calling them binosai, which is my daughters, which is a lashon of closeness, because perhaps Naomi is conflicted. You know, she says go, because she knows that maybe that's what they need to do. But on the other hand, she loves them and she's close with them. Perhaps she really wants them to accompany her. And Rus sees that. Rus, that's what her name sees. She was able to see within the words. She was able to see into what Naomi needed. And that was her core of her chesed. Neva'er et hadvarim. Mi she'eino bal chesed ela enochi ro'e rak et atzmo u'bne et arpo l'kol ha'olam. But a person who's not a bal chesed, he's only about the enochi, he's only about the me and the I and the what's good for me. What does he do? He only sees himself and he turns his back to the rest of the world. In every situation, this person only sees his needs. Everything in his life, every cheshbon, every calculation he makes is, what's going to be the benefit for me? What can I get for it, right? Anything has to do with him. Even if he's going to give to somebody else, it's all about himself. And this is what Chazal meant with the name Orpah. That Orpah turns her neck to her mother-in-law. She wasn't able to see the greatness in her mother-in-law. She turned her back because it was all about her. And therefore, at the moment of a test, what does she do? The calculation is about her, only herself, and therefore she turns her back. It's the same thing. If a person's core is the chesed and they're able to see to the next person, then it doesn't matter the situation. They can see past it and they can see what the person needs. But if you're not, if you're a person who is all about the anochi, if you're Ephron, how can you turn away so much money? When you're Hagar, when it's good, it's okay. But when it becomes challenging, I have to leave it. I have to take care of myself, don't you know? And the same thing with Rus and Orpah. Rus's core was chesed. She saw what her mother-in-law needed, and she was able to rise to the occasion. But Orpah, her husband was all about me, and therefore she gave her mother-in-law her oreth, her her back, and she was able to leave. Rak bal chesed she'anochiut mugbelet. Only a person who's a bal chesed, who's anochius, who's concerned about themselves, is bounded, is has boundaries. Hu hamesugal ro'ot et ma'alot hazula v'tzricha v'riyah nechona. He's able to see the milas of another person and what they need. And therefore, he can do with the other person chesed. V'zehu rus, and this was rus. Shera'asa b'divrei chamota. She was able to see in the words of her mother-in-law. Because she saw the goodness in her mother-in-law, and she was able to see beyond herself, she was able to do good for her mother-in-law. And after this, she continued to do great acts of chesed. And it was because Rus's core was chesed, it was not only about her, she was able to go back with Naomi to Beit Lechem. But Orpah, in contrast, she turned her back. She saw. Naomi told her, it's going to be difficult. You know, it's not going to be a simple life. She said, I have to take care of myself. I can't have that. And so therefore, there's only a certain place I'll go to. But once it becomes uncomfortable for me, I have to turn my back. And therefore, she was not able to hold on to what she learned in the house of Naomi. She left it all behind, and she went back to the opposite extreme. We look in Pasuk Yutef, as Hilach Neshneim Ad Bo'ona Beit Lechem, Vayid Kevo'ana Beit Lechem, V'tehom Kol Ha'ir Aleihem, V'tomarna Hazos Naomi. And what happens? They return, and it seems as if the whole city is there waiting to greet them. How did this happen? That very day that they returned was the day that Boaz's wife passed away, and the entire city had gathered to escort Eshes Boaz. And the Medrash and Rus Rabbah tells us, "But oso hayom nit kansu kol Yisrael legemilos chasadim." It was that day that the whole nation joined together to perform gemilos chasadim. V'zil kol sama legemilos chasadim nichnas arus im na'ami v'aisa zu nichnases zu yotzeid. On that day that they were going to do this chesed for Boaz's wife was the day that Ruth came, Boaz's wife left, and Ruth comes and joins. A nation that once had abandoned Yehoshua and did not perform chesed with him when he died has now come full circle and is going out to perform a final chesed with Boaz's wife. It is on that day that Ruth, whose essence is chesed, comes to join Klal Yisrael. Ruth and Naomi, they return with nothing and they have no food. And Ruth, once again, as a gomel chesed, turns to Naomi, and she says to her, in Parak Beis, Pasuk Beis, "V'tomer Ruth hamovia el Naomi, elchana hasadeh ve'alakta b'shibolim achar asher emsachin ba'ina v'tomar la l'chibiti." And she says, you know what? I'm going to go, and I'll go collect from the field so that, you know, we have something to eat. She, you know, again, we see Ruth's great chesed. She asks to go to gather food because she understands Naomi's embarrassment in asking a relative, you know, to help her, to give her food, to sustain her, especially in light of the past, right? It was Naomi's family who turned their backs on the people of Beit Lechem, on her family that lived in Yehuda. And obviously it was very uncomfortable and embarrassing for Naomi to have to go and ask them for help when her own family turned their backs on them. And so therefore, in light of this, Ruth, who is a princess, suggests that she go and collect. And with heavenly guidance, she ends up in the field of Boaz. Pasuk Dalet, V'hineh Boaz ba mibeit lechem, Vayomer lakotrim, Hashem imachem. And Boaz comes back and he says to his workers, Hashem is with you. Vayomer lo yivarech Hashem. And they say to him, God should bless you. And Chazal tell us, Shaboaz ubeitino tiknu shayu shoalim chavero b'shem. That what was the takana of Boaz and his basin? That when you greet your friend, that when you see somebody, you don't just say hello, you say yivarech Hashem. Hashem should bless you. Hashem should be with you. You greet your friend with God's name. And Eliyahu Yedid in his Sefer Arba Imahos Ve'em Hamalucha, he says, Boaz manhig hador mitakein takanot l'shaper et matavo haruchani shel Am Yisrael. Boaz was the leader of the generation, and he therefore, he made takanos in order to improve the spirituality of the people. She'ilat shalom b'shem Hashem, hi chidush, shechidesh bo'ez u'beitzi novas, kimo imahem beitzin shalmala. This was a chidush, something new that he introduced, that you should greet your friend with God's name, and similarly, the Beis Din Shamala agreed with him. Mahos ha-takana, hi hachzarat atara liyoshna. What was the essence of this takana? That we should bring Bnei Yisrael back, the crown back to her glory. We should bring them back to where they were. Dahainu lahashrish believe Am Yisrael es avas Hashem b'chaye yom yom. To implant in the people a love of God every day. Matarat ha-bracha b'shem Hashem l'romim et ha-yachas b'in adam l'chadero l'ma'an t'il What was the purpose? In order to improve the relationships, to elevate the relationships between man and man, by what? By recognizing the Tselem Elokim, the image of God in each person. Dor Shvot HaShoftim Shaya Nagu B'machalat HaAnochiyot U'Behem Anamot Megmilat Chesed. This generation that was plagued by the Anochiyos, all about me, that lacked performing Chesed, he wanted to bring them back to a place that what? They would once again do chesed with each other. So if a person looks at his friend and he sees godliness, he sees a godly value in them, may God be with you, Yivarech Hashem, you are unique, you are special, why? Because you are created with the Tzelem Elokim, v'yishtanei yachusoi lov, v'yismach ligrom lo nachad, v'yigmolim lo chesed. It's going to change his relationship with him, because you're not a stomp person, you're created in the image of God. You have something unique about you, and therefore it's going to change the relationship between the people, and I'm going to want to do chesed with you, because you're created in the image of God. And that is what Boaz recognized that was lacking in the generation. And therefore, what was he mitakein? What did he institute for that generation? I'm not just going to walk up to you and say hello, but I'm going to use the Shem Hashem when I greet you so that I recognize and that I remember that you have godliness within you, that you are created in the Tzelem Elokim, and that will affect the way I relate to you and ultimately the fact that I do chesed with you. The pasuk continues, pasuk hey, vayomer Boaz l'naro, ani tava l'kotrim, l'mi naro zot. And so Boaz, you know, says to a worker, his workers, who is this girl? And Rashi asks, l'mi naro zot, v'kidar kol shel Boaz l'sh'ol banashim? Is that like, you know, Boaz is the gadol hador. Is it his way to ask about women? Ela divrei tzniyat v'chachma ra'a. But rather, he saw something different about this girl. He saw chachma and tzniyas, and therefore he asked, what was the chachma? Rashi tells us, Shti shibolim lakta, shlosha eno lakta. That when she went to collect, she only collected two, and not three. The Maharsh, Rashi is quoting from the Gemara in Shabbos, Kufyud Gimel Amud Bet, and the Maharsha asks on that Gemara, he says, I don't understand. If you look at the Mishnah in Peah, Beis Hillel tells us that leket is two, and not three. So what, therefore, is the great chachma that Rus did, right? The Maharsha says that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai have this debate. Beis Shammai holds that three is still leket, and Beis Hillel holds that it is two and not three. And the debate is based on the drushos from the Pesukim, right? The Pesuk says, La'ani v'la'ger ta'azov osam. So Beis Hillel says, leket is two because you have two subjects in this Pesuk. La'ani v'la'ger. It's two. But Beis Shammai says, no, we have another Pesuk that says, la'ger la'yasom v'la'almana. There's, you know, who collects the ger, the yasam, and the amana. There's three subjects in this pasuk, and therefore, Shammai says leket is three. But even Beis Hillel would agree that in a situation that all three categories apply to a person, they can collect three. Right? Rus was a ger, she was a yasom, and she was an almana. All three categories apply to Rus. And therefore, according to all opinions, both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, she could have collected three. Yet she only collected two. So Rav Rudinsky suggested that Rus's chesed was totally divorced from her own situation. She was completely focused on caring for her mother-in-law, and therefore she only collected two. Not the three that she could have taken if she were collecting for herself. Naomi was not a ger, so therefore for her, she would have only been able to collect two. And since Rus was so focused on her mother-in-law, she was not focused on herself, her chesed was totally divorced of any sense of self, she only collected Two.
Two was the Ani and the Amalek?
Yeah.
And
the general.
The,
oh.
But the Ani wasn't included in these.
No, meaning anybody can collect two.
Yeah.
But in order to collect three, you know, according to both opinions, you have to actually be all three categories, which would only be someone like Rus. Okay? And this was this selfless chesed that Boaz recognized in Rus, and therefore he asked about her. Rus has met her match in Boaz, and Boaz asks her in Pasuk Parakut Beis, Pasuk Chavav. Let me just turn. I think it's a test file. Hold on, give me 1 second. Okay. I can't find the pasuk that I wanted, but basically Boaz turns to Rus and he asks her, please come back and collect again in my field. Only come and collect in my field, right? What is he asking her? He wants her to come back and give him the opportunity to continue to do the chesed with her. She is doing him the favor by allowing him to do the chesed. And this is precisely the same worldview that Rus has. When Rus returns to her mother-in-law with what she gathered and the food that she had, Naomi asks her, she says, where were you, my daughter? Where did you gather? And what does Rus respond? Vateged lachamota et asher asta imo. Right? She tells her what I did with him. Vatomar Shem Ha'ish Asher Asisi Imo Hu Boaz. The man that I did with, what's his name? Boaz. Rus says it and expresses it. She says, I took care of him. And the Medrash in Rus Rab explains, more than the poor person, than the balabayas does with the poor person, the poor person does with the balabayas. Rus la Naomi, and this is exactly what Rus was driving at when she said to Naomi, Shema Isha Shera Sisi Imo Hayom, Velo Amra Shera Saimi. She says that I did with him, but not that he did with me. Ella asher asiti imo harbe paolot v'harbe tovot asisi imo b'shvil she'achileni perusa achat. Meaning, she recognizes that her attitude toward chesed is what? That when you do chesed for somebody else, that person is doing the favor for you, for allowing them and for giving you the opportunity to do this chesed. And both Rus and Boaz are gomli chesedim at their core, and therefore are not only the perfect match, but they're worthy of royalty. The story continues with Boaz performing one of the greatest acts of kindness, which is Yibum. But you can go. With it, Boaz gave Elimelech and his family fulfillment in this world. When a person passes on with no children and no legacy, they're lost and they're hopeless. And through the act of Yibum, a person takes his place and lives his life for someone else's name. And this is the complete opposite of Anochias. And Boaz fulfilled it for the family of Elimelech. It was the actions of these two tremendous Baalei Chesed that were rewarded with Melucha. Chesed is not only rewarded with Malchus, but it's a prerequisite for Malchus. The Siftei Chaim tells us, HaTafkid HaMerkazi Shel Melech Hu, what's the essential job of the king? B'tchila l'r'otu l'havin et tzarchei b'nei amo. A king has to be able to see the needs of his people. And through seeing the needs of the people, he has to try to work on their behalf. Only a person who does not have this problem of anochius, who is a Baal Chesed, who can go beyond himself and he can see the needs of each of the other person, he can fulfill this job, the job of a king, to take care of the people. And the Rambam tells us that the Melech is supposed to be the Lev Ha'am, the heart of the nation. A king has to put aside his own needs and care for the needs of the people. And thus, the Davidic dynasty was given to people whose whole essence is Chesed. This is the DNA of our kings. It's also, therefore, that the inception of our kings is through the act of Yibum, because Chesed was the basis of his birth. And Chesed is not only the key to Malchus, but it's the key to being able to accept and hold on to the Torah. The Medrash in Shmos Rabbah tells us, Moshe Allah El Elokim, when Moshe goes up to Shemayim to receive the Torah, right? Nitkasheshet im ha-malachim shel mala. The malachim wanted to get involved, right? They weren't so happy about the situation. But Otosha abikshu malachei asher eis lifgo b'Moshe. They wanted to harm Moshe. Asabo ha-kadosh baruch klas tarin shel panav shel Moshe dome la-Avram. So what does Hashem do? He makes Moshe's face look like Avraham. Amar lo ha-kadosh baruch hu. Yi atem et vayshim heimenu? Aren't you embarrassed? Lo zehu sheyarat etem otzlo v'achaltem betoch beito? Isn't this the guy that you went to his house and you ate from his table? Amar ha-kadosh baruch hu l'Moshe. Lo nitna la... The Torah was given in the zchus, in the merit of Avraham. Okay? That basically, Hashem tells Moshe, you know that the Torah was given in the zchus of Avraham. And the Siftei Chaim has such a fascinating explanation of this medrash. They go up, the malachim are upset, they want to get involved, but now when Hashem makes Moshe's face look like Avraham, everything's okay, and the Torah is given in the schus of Avraham. How do we understand this? And he says, this will end. We understand the whole situation by the fact that Hashem made Moshe's face look like Avraham. This was the tshuva, the answer to their question, the malachim. The malachim were bothered. How can man, who's so entrenched in physicality, come to the truth, come to really fulfill the Torah? So what does Hashem tell to the malachim? You don't understand. This path was already paved. We've already conquered this. We have the ability. Bnei Yisrael have this ability. Why? Who was this person that set the path for Klal Yisrael? Who was the one who captured this, the way, who paved the way? The Kovesh HaDerech Haya? Avraham Avinu. It was Avraham. Who Sheyasar B'Yisrael and Midat HaChesed. He was the one who established in Klal Yisrael the midah of chesed, ubekoach midah rachesed. Kasher adam mishocher benegiur atzmo poel ach v'rak leman hazula. Azei yochol gam lavol lidei Torah lishma. If a person has the ability to give of himself and to limit his anochius to take care of the other person, this is a person who also can come to keep the Torah lishma. Sharei hamachavim et hakim lishma heim osam negiut v'ritonot. Because what keeps a person from fulfilling the Torah? His own desires, his own negius. V'ilu adam shemashrish el tocho et midat hachesed ve'et masruot el hazulat memeila mishtacher me'otot tzchunat al asiyat varim l'man atzmo. Okay? So it's this person that's able to give the chesed and give of himself and therefore can keep the Torah. And that is the machteach for Torah lishma. Zehu klas taro shel Avraham. Klastar shel chesed. This is what it means that Hashem gave the face of Avraham. It was the face of chesed. Klastar zeh yarash Moshe me Avraham. And it was this face that Moshe inherited from Avraham. Kach shera'oi hu lekabel ha-Torah. Therefore, he's worthy of accepting the Torah. Sharei b'koach ha-chesed bevaday yakim et ha-Torah lishma. Because if a person has this koach of chesed, he can accept the Torah. V'yagia el tachlis kiyom ha-Torah. And he can come to the ultimate fulfillment of keeping the Torah. And therefore, we only got the Torah in the zchus of Avraham. What was the zchus of Avraham? The zchus of chesed that he taught us, that he embedded in our hearts and in our spiritual DNA. Ela yesh kan yerusha netzach sharish Avraham. This is the yerusha of Avraham, and this is the zchus of Avraham. This is what is found in the Midat HaChesed. And this was the answer to the Malachim. That we have the key to overcome this Anochius, which we inherited from Avraham Avinu. And that is the key of Chesed. And that is in the way that we're able to accept the Torah. And perhaps this is the reason why we read the Megillah of Rus on Shavuos. Because Shavuos is the holiday that we accept the Torah. And if we really want to be successful in our ability to accept the Torah, we need to learn from Rus. And learn from Boaz. We need to shelve our anochius and become gomli chasadim. Because it's once we are gomli chasadim that we will be able to accept the Torah and we'll be able to keep it as Torah lishma. Yeah. I'm so sorry. No, I'm sorry. No, no, no. Yeah. Go, 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 run, run, run.
No, I want to...